versus United States Postal Service.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. Joel Handler. I represent Tom Evans. It pleases the court. This is a kind of a unique case, I believe, in the sense that on one hand, we have certain guidelines that are delineated in governing Rule 12b-6, the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. And yet, it seemed to me, and what prompted this appeal, that the district court, while acknowledging the controlling rules dealing with it and not finding that Mr. Evans, there was no set of facts in which Mr. Evans could support his action against the Postal Service, nevertheless dismissed his complaint on the grounds that he couldn't prove that there would be an action against the union for failure to adequately represent him. I think you have a situation here that, as noted in the Gibson decision, that the key factor here tests up on the sufficiency of the complaint and not on the ultimate merits of the lawsuit. And what prompted this appeal is we believe that the district court actually was weighing the evidence, or the anticipated evidence in this case, and therefore dismissed it contrary to the controlling rules under Rule 12b-6.
I don't read the district court's opinion that way. It looks to me like the district court, following the Supreme Court's decision in Del Castello, doesn't see any indication in the complaint, any notice, if you will, that Mr. Evans believes that the union breached its duty of fair representation through the arbitral procedures. It doesn't make any difference if they're a party or not, but the right allegation, the notice, the aspect of the case that brings that in is apparently entirely missing, and I think that's why he thought it was a legally insufficient complaint.
Judge, the thing that I disagreed with Judge Castillo on was, on one hand, in Del Castello, you don't have to name the union as a party defendant.
Right. The court says the employee may, if he chooses, sue one defendant and not the other, but the case he must prove is the same, whether he sues one, the other, or both.
Correct. But that would get to the proof of the case, Judge, not in terms of the allegations of the complaint. So
I was stressing the notice point. There's not a hint in this complaint that Mr. Evans thinks that the union breached it. It's a whole different way that the employer would need to think about the case.
Right. But the
allegation at all of that.
Right. And that's why we made the distinction, which Judge Castillo disagreed with, as far as a straightforward versus a hybrid action. The main thing that the defendant is maintaining here is you know, that this is a hybrid action, and we believe that it isn't.
Well, but there can't be, in a sense, it's a legally insufficient action if it does not include the concept that the union failed in its duty of fair representation. Again, wholly apart from whether it's a real hybrid case where you sue both the employer and the mm-hmm. union. That's a hybrid case.
Mm-hmm. But even so, I think that to go ahead, if the pleading is absent with regard to the reference to the union, taking Judge Castillo's posture, you still don't have, at least I didn't see a case that says that you have to go ahead and start alleging, when you're not even naming the union as a party defendant, that you have to go and still make allegations in your complaint that the union breached its duty of representation, a fair representation. So that's the uniqueness of this case, and that's why what prompted this appeal brought by Mr. Evans. I don't think you have to. I mean, likewise, when there was a reference made by the Postal Service that in order to bring the action here, you know, dealing with an arbitration, that if it's a straightforward claim, that there would have to be there could not be an arbitration provision in the collective bargaining, mandatory arbitration provision in the collective bargaining agreement. Yet there wasn't, there aren't any decisions that say that. So based upon what we have here, we did state a cause of action here. I think Judge Castillo erred by going to whether or not we could prove it. And under Rule 12b-6, I think that we did set forth a set of facts that would entitle us to relief under the law. So I think it was improper to go ahead and basically say you're not going to be able to prove it. And that's why we're seeking a reversal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
May it please the Court, Counsel. My name is Samuel Cole from the U.S. Attorney's Office on behalf of the Postal Service. This really is a question of black-letter law, and when I received this complaint, I was a little perplexed by it, and I called up Counsel for Evans and said, this is a hybrid suit. You've got to make both the allegations against the union and against the Postal Service.
Now, Mr. Cole, I have a question about that, though, because we have held countless times that it's not necessary in a pleading in federal court to plead all of the elements of a case. We've said a million times it's not necessary to plead facts. We have a notice pleading regime, and under the notice pleading regime, as long as there is a set of facts consistent with the allegations in the complaint that the plaintiff could prove, the case gets to move to second base, if you will. Now, here, what I understand Mr. Handler to be arguing is that he's pleaded the firing, he's pleaded that there was that it was without just cause, and he should be able to add in the union's breach of its duty of fair representation in the court at a later phase, essentially. That's one of those extra facts not in the complaint. So why isn't that right? Why under a notice pleading regime did he have to say more than he did?
I think it's like having a negligence complaint, Your Honor, without alleging negligence. I mean, he has not made the primary allegation in the necessary to sustain his cause of action.
So in fact, where is this insufficient from the Postal Service's point of view as notice of what it is he's complaining about?
Because he wasn't complaining about the union at all in his suit. In fact, he explicitly disavowed any misconduct on the part of the union. In his brief in response to my motion to dismiss the district court, and this is cited in the opinion of the district court dismissing his complaint, Evans says the facts in his complaint do not raise questions as to the propriety of the mail handler union's behavior in handling his grievance. I mean, I think not only does that forfeit the argument that his complaint, that he can make this argument later on, but it puts us on notice that that's not the argument he's making.
Excuse me. Could he make it later on if they're not a party? The union.
Could he make the argument later on?
Good faith. On behalf of the union representing him. Could he make that argument later on when they're not a party to the lawsuit?
I don't think so, because of the critical nature of the allegation, because that allegation is fundamental to his cause of action. He can't make that argument later on. It's not. He's missing the negligence in the negligence lawsuit.
I thought the Supreme Court would have answered Judge Kaney's question yes, if the court says somehow or another you have to prove something, you've got to allege in this sort of hybrid action that the union failed in its duty of fair representation, but we don't really care whether you're bringing the lawsuit only against the employer or against the employer plus the union.
And I didn't, if that was the, I
so
didn't
the union's
answer the
not
question
a necessary party. You don't have a Rule 19.
The union is absolutely not a necessary party, and I didn't mean to.
That was my question.
I'm sorry.
Later on, there are allegations about the representation of the union. Could those allegations be made, and could you proceed, say, to trial or summary judgment with them not being a party?
Absolutely. The union is not a necessary party to the suit. And, But the
nor would the union be bound by the outcome, I assume, if they're not there.
I think there's a statute of limitations problem at this point anyway.
Well, but I know, but I mean, just typically, though, you'd have to have a whole second suit against the union to do anything to them.
That's right. The union would. The question is really only against the Postal Service. He is certainly allowed to proceed. He can choose his defendant, but he can't choose whether or not he has to prove the claim against the union. And he has forfeited that claim and has made no allegations whatsoever. And I think that really disposes of his complaint. And if the court has further questions, I'll stand on the argument.
Thank you, Mr. Cole.
Thank you.
Mr. Handa? You have 4 minutes in rebuttal time.
This is not like the analogy that Mr. Cole made about a negligence suit. This, if it is, then we do state the elements with regard to the Postal Service. That's who our defendant, that's who our prime target is. And therefore, we do say, as Your Honor indicated, we do set forth the elements for the breach of contract action against the Postal Service. So the contract exists. There's a breach of it. He's been damaged. He's entitled to relief. We satisfy the elements. The Postal Service knows, and we have notified them of what the nature of the claim is against it. And therefore, if they may be, you know, have a summary judgment motion, that's another day.
But the contract is the collective bargaining agreement, right?
Correct.
And thus, under the contract, there is the arbitration procedure that governs whether he's been discharged with or without cause. And in the arbitration proceeding, he lost.
Correct.
So I don't see how, if you agree that you've got to get as far as the CBA, this isn't something where he effectively kind of pleads himself out of court.
I don't think he pleads himself out of court,
he
Judge.
He claims that there's been a breach, but the contract's been fully complied with, and the answer has come up in a way that he's not happy with it. But without some flaw in the arbitral procedure, how does he have any right to move on?
Because under the, well, again, that's where we get into the distinctions that we made in our brief about the straightforward versus hybrid suit, as well as that there are decisions that say that he's not, you know, even though that there's a arbitration provision, that it still doesn't prevent the court from taking the case. So
but there's no separate contract between this particular man and the U.S. Postal Service. Whatever contract there may be is the collective bargaining agreement.
Well, unless you also say that, you know, he was hired, the terms that he was governed under could be under a common law contract just as well as he has a collective bargaining agreement. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.